With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
And welcome to the latest episode of the Championship Roundtable. I'm your host, Jake Jackman, and you can reach the show by emailing us championshipRoundtable@gmail.com.
Hi, Andy Buckley-Taylor, representing Derby County on the podcast. You can catch me on Twitter at BookTaylor64. And I also now blog for the Derbyshire Times group of newspapers.
Hi, I'm Russ Goldman. I'm representing Fulham Football Club for the podcast. You can reach me at Russ_Goldman on Twitter and also at Cottage Talk. And you can follow the show or listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com/Cottage Talk.
Thanks so much for joining us today, guys. We'll start making the rounds where each of us have a few minutes to discuss what's been happening at our clubs this week. We'll start with you, Andy. A mixed week for Derby. You put an end to the run without a win at the weekend against Barnsley, but you did lose to Blackburn on Tuesday. So I guess mixed feelings after this week.
Yeah, well, Blackburn, to be quite honest, the less said about it, the better. You know, there's been so many games on this winless run. We've dominated play, but we just haven't been able to create, you know, much in front of goal. Yesterday, I got to the stadium, pleasantly surprised that McLaren was going to try a different formation. It was officially a 4-4-2. I think it actually played more like a 4-2-3-1. But my initial thoughts were, Nigel Pearson couldn't get the 4-4-2 to work. Was it a case of the players wouldn't play for him, or that they were unable to play in a different formation? Well, yesterday they proved that they do not have to have a 4-3-3. Sorry for all the figures, but they lined up a little bit makeshift in defence, because both Richard Keogh and Jason Shackle are injured. So with Chris Baird and Alex Pearce taking the central defensive roles, then the four across midfield, two strikers, David Nugent and Matty Vidra started. They look very good together. They seem to work well off each other. And in fact, David Nugent got the second goal, and Matty Vidra had a hand in it as well. And what was quite ironic, actually, is that had Darren Bent not been ill, he would have started the game. But what intrigues me is that Steve McLaren has stated that it was Johnny Russell who would have missed out if Darren Bent had been fit. So if I thought, right, that's three central strikers. So yet again, he was looking at playing somebody out of position. Anyway, Bent was ill. The team lined up in a 4-4-2. They took a good half hour to actually get to grips with it. And, you know, they didn't look like scoring in that first half hour. But once they did, you know, they worked at it into the second half. Gave away a soft goal. Barnsley had a throw-in. It was nodded in easily in the box by an unmarked Matthew James. But about 2 minutes later, we hit back through Tom Ince, who scored one with his right foot. And then we sort of like took over the game. We were the only side that looked likely to go on and win. We had a few chances, one superbly saved by their goalkeeper. A couple were deflected over. But the winning goal, as I say, Matty Vidra had a hand in it. And it was a typical David Nugent type strike, which he hit for the corner. It did take a deflection. It was going in anyway. And I was very impressed. That's the best we've played in a long time. We've been able to not let our heads drop, you know, when we've gone a goal down. We've stuck to the task. It worked. And, you know, hey, presto, have we suddenly got a plan B? But overall, fantastic performance. David Nugent, Matty Vidra and Chris Baird were absolutely immense yesterday. So, you know, we may be out of the playoff picture realistically now, but maybe other teams that are still looking to gatecrash them or some teams down the bottom will be a little bit nervous about facing us because, you know, we are, if we're not going to be in the playoffs, aiming to spoil a few team seasons.
Yeah, I just want to ask you quickly on Steve McLaren because he came in quite a difficult position. You're near the bottom of the table, weren't really scoring goals. Then you had that good run and now you've had this sort of poor run. What are the sort of feelings towards him among the Derby fans?
Overall, fans are saying you've got to give him the summer, a chance to create the team which he wants. You know, let him make purchases, let him offload players that don't have a future at Derby. And, you know, have a look at the situation again next Christmas. I don't for 1 minute believe we'll struggle in the division whilst he's a manager, but whether he can find that little bit extra and reach the promised land of the Premier League is another matter. There are one or two fans who are still grumbling, you know, that we should never have reappointed him. I didn't want him back. But you've got to sort of look at it. Are we going to change manager yet again? Or are we going to give him that little bit of extra time? Because there's no doubt about it. When players are playing how he wants them to play, we're very good. But now he's seen that there is an alternative to 4-3-3. When teams are coming, there's so many teams. Burton Albion were a classic example. They put 11 men behind the ball and tried to hit us on the counter. We wouldn't have scored if we'd played all night. Well, now teams will see if we've got a little bit more versatility about the squad, their actual tactics for playing us might have to be adjusted. You know, I begrudgingly say give him till next Christmas.
Yeah, and moving on to Fulham now, Russ. The last time you came on, you talked about you were hopeful of getting into the playoff spots. 13 points from your last five matches have put you in a position where you're closing in on sixth position. What are your thoughts on the week at Fulham?
It's been an interesting week. We are still 5 points off of the sixth place, which is okay. You know, we were just talking about this on Cottage Talk, that Fulham just need to keep winning. If they keep winning, hopefully teams around them will start to lose a little bit. So it's on them. They can keep winning. If they can keep doing that, then they can put themselves in position to potentially get into the top six. But it's really on them to continue to win and get points. They unfortunately did not get a victory last week at Cardiff. They actually just got the draw. But still, a point is a point. You take that. They need to get victories at home, and they need to continue to do that. My thought is that they really just need to win all of their remaining home matches to give themselves a chance and still be able to pick up points on the road. But it really is about these home matches. Well, it started yesterday against Preston North End, a team that not far behind them at the time. They're only a point behind. And this was a complete Fulham victory, 3-1. But it really, for me, was more about the play. They dictated the play, and we saw a complete victory, a complete team. They played together as a unit, and it was nice to see because there have been some matches lately that they've had to grind them out. They didn't have to grind this one out. They showed their ability in this match from beginning to end. That's what was so pleasing for us Fulham supporters watching the match. I watched the replay back today, and I could really see all pieces fitting together. Chris Martin came back into the team and he was the focal point. We had pace down each side. So it really flowed very well. You know, we have the players in the central areas that really were able to feed off of everyone around them. Like I said, on the wings up front with Martin, it just flowed so well. So that was the best part of the match, was just how they played. And they did not really give Preston North End much time on the ball, which they tend to do anyways. But this was really a dominating performance. The worrying thing about this match is that you could also see the weaknesses of Fulham, is that we still make mistakes. We are still vulnerable to the counter. And that played itself out in this match a little bit. But overall, they really dominated the play and came away with a 3-1 victory.
Yeah, just quickly before I ask both of you about Chris Martin, I just want to ask you, Russ, about the playoff position. Because looking at the table now, it looks like Andy said he didn't think Derby were in the race for playoffs anymore. And Norwich and Preston are only 1 point ahead of Derby. So it will take quite something for those two to get to the playoffs as well. So it looks like Fulham are the only team that have a realistic chance of breaking into that top six. So if that is the case, which team in that top six are you sort of looking at displacing? Which one do you think is the most likely to be displaced by Fulham?
It's very interesting, because you would say the closest is Sheffield Wednesday, but I don't think that is the team that has the best chance to drop out. I think the team that has the best chance to drop out is Leeds United. Leeds United are a solid team, and I have to give Gary Monk a good amount of credit, because they are tough to beat. And they take advantage of your mistakes. You know, that's why this match coming up is going to be interesting, because they have a striker that's what he does. He's a very good striker in Chris Wood. But I see the team most likely to fall out is Leeds United, followed closely by Reading. I think Reading has a chance to fall out as well. We have a game in hand on these teams right now. We played one less game. So when we face Leeds United, if we beat them and then we follow that up the following week against Blackburn, of course, we're going to be facing your team on the weekend, Jake. But the matches coming up against Leeds United at home and then Blackburn at home are vital for Fulham. Like I said, they need to win these matches. These home matches are vital. So I think we have a chance. Massive match on Tuesday night against Leeds United. They win that match, then things really tighten up.
Yeah, that is interesting. I have a slightly different opinion on the playoffs, but I'll get onto that a little bit later. Just now, I just want to ask each of you sort of any updates on the Chris Martin situation, because I saw Andy put a tweet out there earlier about how maybe if Fulham do go up through the playoffs, that might change it completely. But I'll just sort of give my view on it first. But
from
being an outsider, from knowing what I do about Fulham, their sort of approach with analytics, I think if Fulham did go up, they would have a target higher than Chris Martin. That would be my view. So I just want to know your views. Are you sort of thinking that there's a bit more to run in this target, and it's possible that you could start Fulham?
It's interesting. I really don't know at this point. I actually interviewed Vice Chairman and Director of Football Operations Tony Khan, and I asked him about Chris Martin, and he actually had some very good things to say about Chris Martin. He likes Chris Martin a great deal. He said that on the show. I was very interested in his words. He has no bad feelings. He actually feels very positive about Chris Martin, and made it clear that they have the option to buy. He made this clear that it's up to them. And so I don't know what they're going to do with Chris Martin if they get promoted. I guess, you know, I think that's why everything is still open to them with this situation, is that they hold the card. And they can see how things play out at the end of the season. And what he told me, because I asked him outright, I said, why did you decide on the loan deal instead of the permanent deal? And he liked the deal. He liked having the options, basically. I'm paraphrasing. But they can, you know, they can make the call. They can make the call at the end of the season. So that's it'll be interesting to see what they do on this. You know, if they do go up, you know, knock on wood, they go up. I don't know if they would hold on to Chris Martin, but I'll worry about that, Jake, if they get there.
Yeah, and Andy, what are your sort of views? Do you sort of agree with that somewhat?
You see, I mean, there's a lot of conflicting reports now because initially it was £2.5 to £3 million loan fee, and I understood it to be if they purchased him an overall nine million. Now I've been reading today, no, it's £2.5 million loan fee and a further £9 million if they sign him. But you see, I don't pretend to be an expert in the complexities of the loan system. Now, I think what really what restricts us in saying what we believe will happen is not knowing what the actual loan agreement was, because, like you say, everybody seems to state that Fulham have an option to purchase, right? Now, with that option to purchase, that was obviously part of the loan agreement. Now, Chris Martin has signed a loan agreement which gives Fulham all the power, saying, right, if we want to buy you, you've got to sign for us. The length of what the contract would be, you know, if Fulham's got all that power, then obviously the contract that he signed for Derby County in January is not worth the paper it's written on. However, you could take it from a different perspective that he signed a loan contract and Fulham have the option to purchase if Chris Martin wants to stay, which, you know, I don't know if this is the agreement, but I'm baffled. If that is the agreement, why has he signed this new contract with Derby County? You know, it really is a mess. And whichever one of those it is, I mean, if it's the first scenario that I mentioned, and all of a sudden he decides, well, I don't care, I'm not staying, you know, you could have a bit of a messy legal battle. But I don't believe that Fulham would have signed him on loan with an option to purchase if Chris Martin hadn't signed an agreement with that in, you know, within. But we don't know. I mean, me and Russ can only sit here and speculate what it is. And I listened to the interview with Tony Khan. It was quite an honest interview. I thought he came across very well, but he didn't really elaborate any of the great details. I suspect there's probably something going on in the background, because I can understand why Fulham want to keep him, and obviously I can understand why Steve McLaren wants him back. But I mean, I actually did a piece for the local newspapers about this, which I think went on the website on Saturday. So if you've got a chance, you know, give it a read. A crafty little plug there. But I think it's going to be a case of we're going to have to sit and wait and see.
Yeah, that's very interesting. I'll definitely check out the interview that Ross did and that, because it's interesting to me as a neutral to see where this one does go. But there are complexities in every transfer deal and loan deals and such. So we're going to have to wait to the end of the season. And all we could do now is speculate, but it's definitely an interesting one. But for me, I think the thing that changed it was the managerial change at Derby, wasn't it? I think that's the big change in this situation. If Nigel Pearson was still manager at Derby, I don't think we'd have been having any of these problems at all. But we'll see how this one goes.
Absolutely not.
Exactly.
I mean, can I just say, a recent, if you look at the performances over the past three seasons in the Championship, Chris Martin's the number one striker. So I can see why there's a tug of war going on.
But anyway, before we get too far into the Chris Martin chat, we'll move on to Newcastle. I've been waiting all week to talk about these two results, because it's probably one of my favourite weeks as a Newcastle fan, to be honest. It's probably one of the best weeks the Championship side has ever had, to go away to the teams in second and third and to get two wins and sort of consolidate.
You were not confident, Jake. I remember listening. You were not confident.
I was not confident, no, but
I was thinking about you while watching this. You were not confident.
No, I was not confident, but I think that's sort of my inner, it's sort of just my default upsetting as a Newcastle fan because we always disappoint. But I did tweet last weekend. I said that I thought it would be typical Newcastle if we went and beat Brighton, Huddersfield and Reading away and then lost to Fulham at home. I could see that happening. Like, it would be sort of typical Newcastle to do that. And it's not totally unlikely now. But we'll start with the Brighton game because I went to get that game and it was an interesting one because Brighton should have had all the confidence in the world. They took the lead early. You know, they've not lost at home after taking the lead for such a long time. But after they scored that goal, I thought that there was only really one team that was going to win it. I didn't see where our goals were going to come from, but we were definitely the better team on the evening. We had more shots, more possession, more. I think we created the better chances. And it was just a perfect tactical display from Benitez. He didn't sort of panic when things were going wrong, that the people in the away end were getting a bit, you know, fidgety, demanding Mitrovic to come on and demanding changes. But he sort of kept it till the 75th minute until he brought Daryl Murphy on. And it seemed like he'd been planning to do that the whole time. He allotted that time for Daryl Murphy to come on and sort of be that impact sub because he can't play at that intensity for a whole 90 minutes because due to his age and sort of his physique and things like that. But for 15 minutes, he was excellent. And, you know, he made the difference. He sort of created the corner for the first goal. And that first goal, although being probably the luckiest goal I've ever seen, it was probably deserved. I think we deserved to get back into the game at that point. We'd created a lot of good chances, hadn't taken them. And as soon as that went in, sort of the Brighton fans, they just, I think everyone in that stadium that was only going to be Ron winner. And as soon as Pep scored the winner, the stadium emptied and, you know, Brighton didn't look like they were going to get an equaliser at all after that. And it was a great performance, sort of beating Brighton, you know, if we... At 79 minutes on that day, we were looking perilously like we were going to have a massive fight to get promotion. We were going to fall closer to Huddersfield. Then we would have went to Huddersfield with sort of a less confidence. We might have lost that one as well. So it's a crucial 10 minutes. But on reflection of the game, I'd say we deserved it. And then going to Huddersfield yesterday, it wasn't as great a footballing performance, but an even better tactical performance for me. Huddersfield, everyone knows how they play. They're always going to dominate position. They're very good at that. That's the way David Wagner wants his team to play. I think they had some ridiculous stuff, sort of like 72% possession or something like that. They had a lot more shots, but they didn't create anything real, I don't think. A lot of their shots were from open play, from outside the area. They weren't creating anything clear cut. And I think we could still be playing right now and they wouldn't have scored a goal from open play. We were that good defensively. We took our chances when they came to us. The penalty, we took that when it came. We don't often get penalties, so that was a surprise. And then Daryl Murphy, the goal that he scored, I don't think it should have been ruled out for offside, despite what the Huddersfield, for a foul on the goalie, despite what the Huddersfield fans have said. But you know, that was a great goal from him, a great finish. And then Dwight Gayle sort of wrapped up at the end with, you know, with their key coming out, and that was sort of a stupid decision and sort of showed the naivety in Huddersfield play. So, you know, we're now top of the table. I think we're 11 points clear of Huddersfield, 5 clear of Brighton. I can sit here and say we're going to go up. I'm 100% certain of that. I don't want the players to have that point of view, obviously, but I can't see us not going up, and we'll probably win the league from this position. So it's been a great week, and hopefully it carries on next week against Reading and Fulham, hopefully. Although, you know, we can't keep winning games. If we beat Reading, then I wouldn't be surprised if we drop points against Fulham. But as I want Fulham to get into those playoffs, I maybe give you that. Although,
oh, thank you.
probably not. But we'll see how that goes. But yeah, just moving into the topics for today, I just want to ask each of you, instead of sort of we're doing our sort of checking on the championship table, instead of going to in each position and everything, I just want to talk about, are there any teams that you can see sort of dropping off or rising up either at the top of the league or the bottom of the league? Brighton obviously have lost their last two games and their fans will be worried that they might choke again like they did last season. So that's a team that we need to talk about. So we'll start with them. What are your sort of views on them at the moment?
Yeah, it's interesting that you mentioned Brighton because pre-game yesterday with our usual Pint of Stella expert sat pre-game, we were talking about, you know, the top six. And last season, you know, when Brighton slipped out of the automatic into the playoffs, I says they're going to choke now. They're not going to go up. I can see it happening again. Now, I don't wish it on them. I think Chris Hughton's a smashing guy. But they really, really have got to get their act together quickly. You know, a couple of bad results. And you know, let's be honest, that was a terrible result on Saturday, losing at Nottingham Forest. And, you know, they've got to pull themselves together quickly. Otherwise, they are going to slip back into the playoff spots and we could have a case of deja vu. As for the top six, a couple of weeks ago, I fancied Sheffield Wednesday would maybe drop out of them. But all of a sudden, they've got Jordan Rhodes now, has got his scoring boots on. I think they'll stay there. I think that Leeds will stay there, provided they keep Chris Wood fit. If anybody's going to slip out, it's going to be Reading. Now, the only team realistically at the moment with a chance of sneaking in there is Fulham. They have a chance and, you know, they're going to have to work for it and they're going to have to work very hard for it as well. I mean, they've got some tough games coming up. They've got Newcastle. We've got to play Fulham as well. But when you look at the other end of the table, Rotherham and Wigan, for me, are doomed. That other place. Now, Burton Albion were the team that I picked to slide in there. They've ground out some results lately. It might be them. It might be another team. But, you know, that's how I see it. And I'll be interested to know what you guys think.
Okay, well, I'll go on Brighton. Andy, I'm there with you on Brighton. I'm sorry, did I jump in too much here? Should I start over? Jake?
Start over.
Okay. All right. On Brighton, I actually agree with you, Andy. I could see deja vu. I could see it happening again. What's interesting about them is that I feel that they have this small margin for error. They play a certain way. They're very organized. They're very disciplined. But when things don't go their way, do they have a plan B? Do they have a way to get themselves out of it? So they could go on a slide. So I see where you're going on that. I could actually see Huddersfield Town taking that place above them. That could happen, but we'll have to see. I've already mentioned the teams that I think that are in danger. I still think Leeds United are in danger. And then, of course, Reading. Sheffield Wednesday, I feel confident that they're going to stick for the reasons that Andy mentioned. At the bottom of the table, those two teams are definitely going down, I feel. And the third team, it's up for grabs. It could be several teams. You know, even a team like Wolves are in danger, Blackburn. So that's going to be one to watch. And, you know, I wouldn't rule out Burton Albion sticking because I think they're a decent side. So I wouldn't rule them out at all. I think they could find a way to stay in the league. But that's going to be one to follow, that third team.
Yeah, I'd agree on Brighton. I think seeing Newcastle against both Brighton and Huddersfield in the last week, I think Huddersfield impressed me more. And I think I saw today that Shane Duffy might have broken his foot or ankle. I mean, he's got quite a serious injury. So that's a massive blow to Brighton, especially as Connor Goldson has sort of got his own problems. So I'm not sure how much cover they've got centre-back. But that's going to be huge. And it'll be interesting to see what will happen there. The one saving grace for them is their fixture list doesn't look too hard over the rest of the season. I think they've only got Leeds to play in the top six. And I think that, you know, they're not pretty good at beating the teams near the bottom of the table. I know they lost to Forest, although for all intents and purposes, I think the game wasn't a 3-0 game. I think it was a bit of an unfair reflection of what happened. It seems like they were sort of suffering from losing it so late against Arsenal that impacted on their result of the weekend. But I'm pretty sure they'll get it back. I'd still favour them slightly just because of their 6-point advantage. It's much better to have points on the board, even though Huddersfield have a game in hand, so I favour them slightly, but it is a little bit concerning. But on the playoffs, I think the only team that is realistically going to drop out is going to be Reading. I think Leeds are too good at home. Chris Wood keeps scoring goals. You know, they don't draw many games. If they lose, they also win. And as Louis pointed out on a few podcasts, that a draw in this division isn't much good at all. You might as well go for the win and lose than get the draw. A point doesn't do that much. So I think I think Leeds will be fine. If they lose to Fulham on Tuesday, I'm sure they'll go and win next weekend. So, like, I'm not too concerned about them. Reading at the team, I think they've overachieved a lot. They've had a lot of luck in a lot of games. And when they play big teams, they struggle. I think they struggled against Brighton. They were destroyed at the Annex. I think it was the last weekend. I just can't see them maintaining it. I think they were so very lucky to sort of win at the weekend as well. I think I can't remember who they played, but I think they were from what I've read, they were quite lucky to get the 3 points, and we've got them on Tuesday. So, you know, hopefully we could do your favor, Russ, and beat Reading, and then if Please. We beat you next weekend, it's sort of no, negated the loss. So hopefully we can. I think Reading are going to be the team to drop out, and I can see Fulham getting in the top six. In terms of relegation, I fear for Bristol City. I mean, I know they came to St James Park a couple of weeks ago and got a good result. Maybe should have won that day, but they just keep losing games, and sort of the lack of the sort of inactivity towards their manager is a little bit concerning. Lee Johnson is not doing anything at all to show that he can turn this around. They drew to Burton yesterday. I think he had a similar run as Barnsley manager when he was there. He kept losing games. So he doesn't seem to be able to turn around the slide. And now they've fallen into the relegation zone. It seems like the right time to make that change, although I'm not really sure who's out there to come in. I don't think Gary Rowett would really want to take that job at the moment. So be interested to see what happens there. But yeah, I fear for Bristol City and I fear for Reading. Just one question before we move on. I just want to ask you about Norwich, because for me, I can see them. I think they're the only team sort of in that clump of teams, believe Fulham, that have the players and the experience of going on a run to get into the playoffs. They did it before under Alex Neil, and I wouldn't completely rule them out. They score a lot of goals, and if they sort of sort out the defence, they might be able to do it. So do you sort of think they've got any chance at all, or should we rule them out?
Yes, for Norwich, up to this weekend, I fancied that they were capable of gate crashing the top six. Dreadful result at Sheffield Wednesday. I think they're just running out of steam now. They've put a good run together with some very good results. But I think it's just going to be a little bit too late for them now.
Yeah, Norwich City are a very interesting side because they do have the talent to get in there, to leapfrog us at Fulham. They do. They have the talent. But is it too late? Indy could be right on that. They're starting to teeter at the worst possible time. So it's going to be tight for them, just like it's going to be tight for us. But I wouldn't rule them out.
No, I don't think I would either. I think they've got a chance, but they do need to be nearly perfect from now until the end of the season, which is a difficult job for any team in this division. So it's certainly interesting to see how that one goes. Just before we move into player watch, I just want to quickly ask you about a player in your squad that you expected more from this season, because we all come into the season expect a lot from certain players, and they do sometimes disappoint. We spoke a couple of weeks ago about players that had improved on this podcast, so just want to go for the other side and see, is there any player that sort of disappointed you this year and somebody that you expected more from? We'll start with you on this one, Ross.
I would have to say Ragnar Sigurdsson. We were looking for two solid center backs to come in. Tomas Kalas has been excellent on loan from Chelsea. But we also expected Sigurdsson to be the other side, to be his other part of that pairing. But it hasn't worked out. And Tim Ream has taken his role. And for whatever reason, coming from the Russian league to the championship, I don't think it's translated. And he's the one player that has been a disappointment for me. I mean, been a real disappointment, because I expected it to be Kalas and Sigurdsson, and it's been Kalas and Ream. So he's been a disappointment. Something about him that actually many of my co-hosts have definitely pointed out is that he doesn't jump well. As a center back, you know, you would expect him to be able to jump, and he doesn't. He actually stays on the ground, which has been a little bit of a problem, and he's been prone to make mistakes. So he's been the player that has been the biggest disappointment, but we haven't had that many. We brought in 14 players this summer, but he's the one that has stood out for me.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Yeah, the same question to you, Andy. Has there been anybody at Derby that you expected more from and they just haven't produced this season?
Up until a couple of weeks ago, I was very disappointed with the contribution made by Jacob Butterfield. We brought him in last season from Huddersfield, big money. He showed some flashes last season. And you normally do give a player a settling in period, you know, when they join the side. He came with a reputation of being an attacking midfielder. This season, you know, he's really disappointed a lot. There's been games where he seems to have gone missing. Picked up the last couple of games. He came on Saturday and he made a couple of great passes across out to people like Tom Ince playing wide out on the wing. But I really would like to see more from him for the money that we spent on him. You know, Huddersfield Town fans were up in arms when they sold him to us. And when I was talking to one about how disappointed I am with him, they said, you must be playing him wrong. Well, maybe we are, maybe we're not. But hopefully the last couple of games is going to be a sign of things to come. And we can get the player that we thought we'd bought.
Yeah, for Newcastle, I mean, there's a couple I could talk about, but I'll just focus on one because it's been a major disappointment for me. When we were relegated, there was a few players I wanted to keep at the club, and one of them was Alexander Mitrovic. I thought he'd done okay in the Premier League. He wasn't bad. He wasn't great. He did fine. And considering it was his first season in a struggling team, you know, and at his age, I think he came in at 21, so you have to sort of give him time, and he was fine. So I wanted him to have a year in the Championship and maybe develop in the same way that Colaccini did. Just one example, Colaccini did last time we were in the Championship. He had a bad season in the Premier League, came down and sort of became one of the best centre-backs we've had at the club in recent times. So I was hoping sort of something similar would happen to Mitrovic. It just hasn't. He's been behind Dwight Gayle from the start of the season. Dwight Gayle has been scoring goals. And then, you know, Mitrovic, when he's had chances at the start of the season, he was fine. And then now he's sort of dropped off. He's missed a lot of chances in the recent run with Gayle being out. He missed one against Derby that was quite clear-cut. He's missed some in other matches as well, one against Norwich. There's no doubt in his passion. He definitely has that. When we scored the win against Brighton, he was the first one to go and celebrate despite being on the bench. You know, he was... I love him as a personality, but as a player, he's just not giving enough. And it's amplified so much more when you see what Daryl Murphy's doing, who is just, he's been a Championship striker his whole career. He's never going to go and play in the Premier League to a huge extent. He might do with us, it is yet to be seen. But when he plays, he just offers so much more than Mitrovic. He does more running, he closes down more, he makes more tackles, he scores more goals. It's difficult to see a comparison between those two, considering Mitrovic was once considered one of the best striking talents in Europe, and he's just not done it. And it speaks volumes that he wasn't even in the squad yesterday. Even though Gayle was back, I mean, in a game like against Huddersfield, some managers would have wanted to have two strikers on the benches in case they had to go for it. He just was not interested in having Mitrovic there. So I think it's safe to say he's not going to be at the club next season, whatever happens. And that is a disappointment for me because I was quite excited when we signed him, but in recent weeks. I've just gone cold on him. I just wouldn't care if he left. So that's been the major disappointment for me.
Jake, I want to ask you about DeAndre Yedlin. He's a player that, you know, came over from America to Tottenham. It didn't work out there, then went to Sunderland and eventually went over to you. Has he worked out?
DeAndre Yedlin has probably been one of the most improved players I've seen in Newcastle in a long time. When he joined, he was good. He had a lot of energy. He got forward well, but defensively it's questionable. But I'd say over the last month and a half, he's really established himself as our first choice right back. He didn't play against Huddersfield, but I think that was sort of a rotation thing more than him being dropped. He's been excellent. He gets up and down the pitch quickly. He's remarkably quick. His tactical sort of knowledge has come on leaps and bounds under Benitez. He's very good defensively now. He contributes a lot going forward. He's the perfect modern sort of day fullback. In the championship now, he's good in both halves of the pitch. He's quick. He can cover ground, and he seems to be like a great character as well. I've really taken to him. So yeah, he's improved a lot, and I think he's only going to improve more under Benitez. It'll be interesting to see if he can make that next step up to the Premier League. And I know he's okay at Sunderland, but he wasn't great. So it'll be interesting to see if he can make that step. But if he keeps sort of listening to Benitez, I can only see him improve more.
He's definitely
been a success, 100%. But we will now move on to Player Watch, where we'll have a few minutes to discuss players that have impressed and disappointed at our clubs this week. I know Derby and Newcastle had a couple of fixtures, so if you want to talk about players from Tuesday's game, Andy, feel free. So we'll start with you on this one. Who sort of impressed and disappointed at Derby this week?
Yeah, looking back at the Blackburn game, all the players bar David Nugent, Tom Ince, Chris Baird, you know, the rest just weren't at the races. And it was a very disappointing display. But I'll hastily move along to Player Watch on who's impressed us. And that would be Chris Baird. Now, last season, he didn't have a very good time of it. Fans were on his back. And to be quite honest, you know, he didn't play well. This season, he had to come in, first of all, to cover for Cyrus Christie at right back when he was injured. Did a fantastic job. He's now had to move to the centre-half position. And he's in the role which Richard Keogh has left, because he's one of the two centre-halves who's injured, along with Jason Shackle. His tackling, his reading of the game, his distribution, been absolutely superb. For me, he was the best player on the pitch yesterday. And Russ told me at Fulham he was a good, solid player.
Yep.
And it's evidence that his experience and his wise old head as a pro is now coming into play. And I'm absolutely delighted. And I would like to count the votes when we have our end of the season player of the season. Because for me, he would definitely get in the top three. And a lot of the fans, you know, they've said, we gave him stick last year because he was poor. But they're astounded at the turnaround. And, you know, we're now thankful that he's part of our squad. Last year, we loaned him out to Fulham. This season, he's been asked to do a job and he's come in and done it. So, you know, full credit to the guy. Delighted to see it. You know, I don't like criticising players, but I will criticise players when they play poorly. But on the other side of the coin, they get down to it and they string a run of good performances together, and I'll be amongst the first to praise them. But, you know, well done, Chris Baird.
For me, it's one of these rare matches where I don't have anyone that I could say that has disappointed for him, because this was a team effort, and there wasn't anyone that stood out negatively. Positively, I have several choices, but I'd have to go with Niskanen Cabano, who scored a goal and was vital in a second goal, assisting Sone Aluko. I could have very easily gone with Aluko as well, but for me, it's Cabano, because what's interesting with what's going on with Fulham, we think that possibly our depth would come into play, a lack of depth because we recently had an injury to a player, and then of course another player, Florida Ite, is going to be out for a couple matches. But he's filled in great, and he is shown us the ability to score goals. So I would have to say Niskanen Skubanov was the player that stood out for me most in the last match.
Yeah, for me, I guess you'll be not surprised to hear I don't have anybody to criticize. I mean, Shocker. It's impossible to do. So after those two results, I can't do it, even if anyone did. So I'll just talk about three players that impressed for different reasons. The first is Matt Ritchie. He was excellent in both games. He's been excellent for a few months now. He sort of had a down period around Christmas time, but he's really picked up. And he's exactly the player that I thought we were getting now. And he's really stepping up. He's so reliable in possession. He creates chances. He scores goals. He's a leader on the pitch. He's everything that Newcastle have lacked. He may not be that dynamic. He might not be quick. He doesn't really beat players very often, but he's so intelligent. And I think intelligence is worth so much more than the other things, and that leadership as well. I think he's going to be a big player for us over the next few seasons, and it's been great to see. Sort of the highlight for me was his pass for the winning goal at Brighton. A lot of people may not know was that the wind was mental that night. It was completely good against any. He played an inch-perfect pass, cross-field ball to Christian Atsu, who then squared it to Perez, and we got the winner. And it was one of the best bits of individual skill I think I've seen this season from a Newcastle player. And for him to sort of pull it off at that moment in such a big game sort of shows what sort of character he is. So he's been one. Darryl Murphy, he had a great impact at Brighton and then played excellent yesterday, did exactly what was required of him. And, you know, he's played a massive part in two massive fixtures now, and it shows exactly why we bought him. 5 million might have been a bit too much, but Rafa has brought him in for a reason, and he's done exactly what we need him to do. So he deserves praise, and Paul Dummett as well. He's probably alongside Yedlin, he's been one of the most improved players this season at Newcastle. He'd been at the club for a while. He's a local boy. He's a board to Newcastle. And he's one of the first to get stick from a lot of supporters because he's not exciting to watch. He doesn't beat players. He doesn't get forward. He doesn't contribute too much on the ball. But as a defender, I don't think there's many better fullbacks in the Championship. I think Anthony Knockhart didn't get past him once yesterday. On Tuesday, sorry. And then yesterday, he wasn't beaten again, and he sort of had Van der Power running at him. Izzy Brown, you know, they're two good players, and they didn't get anything out of Paul Dummett. And I think he's been excellent this season, and deserves all the credit coming his way. But before we wrap up today, I just want to quickly preview the games we've got this week. We'll start with you, Russ. You talked about it briefly earlier. You've got a home match against Leeds United. What is your prediction for this one?
Listen, this is a massive match. Actually, the next two matches, Slavica Jokanović talked about after the match and his head coach reaction that I'm paraphrasing, but these two matches against Leeds United and, of course, Newcastle United are a great test to really see where Fulham are. These are two quality teams. I feel confident with the Leeds United match. We played them really early on in the season, and I just think this is a matchup situation where our speed and our balance really could be a factor here against this team. The one fear I have is Chris Wood, because Chris Wood just scores goals, and we have the ability to make the mistake, and he will take advantage of the mistake. But I'm actually going to go with a 3-1 Fulham victory. It's a match they need to win. Like I mentioned, if they're serious about getting into the top six, they need to win these home matches. You've already talked about that that a draw is not really good in the Championship. I think it's okay on the road, but at home, I think you want to win all of your home matches and not go away with a point. So for me, they need all 3 points. So I'm going with a 3-1 Fulham victory.
Yeah, and Andy, Derby have got a home match against Preston North End, sort of another club in a similar position to you. How do you see this one going?
Well, we got a Ren Pearson win at Preston earlier on in the season, albeit a very lucky one. They're a well-organised side. They seem to do the homework. It's a bit of an unknown because I watch quite a lot of Championship football, and Preston's probably one of the teams I've rather stupidly, you know, not watched them much of. Overall, I mean, experience should tell you that the teams when they're announced on paper, we should win. But you know, football matches aren't won on paper. I am hopeful of a win. I will take a one-goal victory there. That's what I think will be the end scenario. And I'll be very interested to see if players can keep this 4-4-2 formation working. And then if things aren't going the way, how quickly they can shift, you know, back into the more attacking 4-3-3. But it's a game where I think a lot of our fans will be looking very carefully, very interested to see if Saturday was a one-off and we sink back into the slump, or we can pick up again and try and finish the season and as high as we can. But we've got a bigger game coming up after that.
Yeah, and Newcastle, we've got a trip to Reading to sort of round off our three away fixtures. We got two wins so far, and Reading are probably the easiest game of the three. People who listen to this podcast will know I don't think they're very good at all, and I think their league position is a bit of a lie. So I think we should probably go to Reading and get the win. I'm pretty confident on that. Dwight Gayle will be back in the starting 11. He'll be eager to sort of get back on the goals where Chris Wood has sort of moved ahead of him in on the goal scoring chart. So he'll be up for it. And I think we beat them 5-1 at St James Park, and I wouldn't be too surprised to see a similar result at Reading, if I'm honest. We probably won't do that. I think we should win by three goals. I think we're very good away from home, much better than we are at home, which brings me quickly to the final question I've got for you, Russ, before we wrap up the pod. You know, sure. you're come to St James Park next weekend. I just want to sort of know your opinion as a visiting fan, what you sort of think of your hopes at St James Park, because we're much worse at home than we are away from home, and you've already beaten us this season, so that gives you a little bit of momentum as well. So what are your sort of views on that one going into that?
Well, I look at this differently, Jake. I see going to St James's Park as, like I said, a wonderful test for Fulham Football Club. I see this as a real match of wits, talking about our managers going at it. And I'm fascinated by this match because I can't predict it. I think it's going to be very even, and I'm looking forward to the challenge. I know you're saying that you're not that good at home, but I just really, I see this is the match I really want to see. You know, two teams going at it, you know, there's going to be the revenge factor for you. So, I think this is going to be one of these matches that could be 2-1, 1-0. I think it's going to be close like it was the first time. I think Benitez, after the first matchup, really will respect Fulham, so he'll be prepared. And I know Jokanović will. So this is fascinating because I have a lot of respect for your club, and I know that your club will respect ours. So this is a match I wish was televised because I think it's going to be a great match.
Yeah, I'd agree. It's a very good match. If we win Reading, then sort of the problem for Fulham, maybe as opposed to other teams that have come to St James Park, is I don't think there will be the sort of tenseness in the crowd. I don't think the crowd will get on the players' back so much, and that they won't be so nervous, and they might be getting behind the team more, which may free the players up, and they might play a lot better than they have been. So that's the only fear I would have as a Fulham fan, but it's definitely one of the standout fixtures of that sort of game week. So it's definitely one to watch out for and see what happens. But with that, we are now out of time. So if each of you want to tell people where they can reach you or any projects you're involved in, now be a good time.
Hi, Andy Buckley-Taylor, representing Derby County on the podcast. You can find me on Twitter at BuckTaylor64. And also, I'm a blogger for the Derbyshire Times group of newspapers.
Okay, I am Russ Goldman. I do a show about Fulham Football Club. It is called Cottage Talk. You can follow me on Twitter at Russ_Goldman, and also at Cottage Talk altogether. And we recently on Cottage Talk did an interview with Vice Chairman and Director of Football Operations Tony Khan of Fulham Football Club. I highly recommend you checking out the show at blogtalkradio.com/cottagetalk. Listen to the interview and certainly let me know what you think of it. I found it fascinating. He was with us for 35 minutes and shared some very interesting information about the club, his thoughts about the club, his involvement in the club. If you want to hear someone, you know, the someone on management of a football club being on a podcast, well, listen to Cotter's Talk.
Yeah, it's definitely one I'm going to check out this week, and I'll definitely tell you what I think of that. But if you want to reach me, I'm at Jake Jackman with two N's on Twitter. All right, for EPL Index and The Boot Room, both good sites, check them out. And I just want to thank Andy and Russ for coming back on the podcast again. I'm sure we'll have you both back on before the end of the season. And I just want to thank you all for listening, and we hope you join us again soon.